Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Zozo, how are you?
Well, I'm missing you, actually. I feel like it's been long enough now. We need to get something in the diary where we just get together and aggressively drink.
It's been nearly 4 months, I think.
Although we speak to each other about 100 times a day, so I don't feel too bad.
No, I know. It's weird. I mean, I guess now we can see each other, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So... I mean, absolutely. It's happening. It's happening next week. And we've just bought a slip and slide. So I'm going to get Axel and Luna on that.
Absolutely. We're over for the slip and slide. How's it going? Have you finished singing Happy Birthday yet?
Oh, my God. How fucking funny is that? I really do feel like, apart from the fact that it's very humorous, that I'm actually slightly messing up my son's childhood. When is he ever going to know? If you're listening, you don't know what we're talking about here. I have to basically sing Happy Birthday to Kit every single night, 5 times before he goes to sleep. And last night, like, it was his birthday in April. And when it was his actual birthday, I was going, it's your actual birthday. And he was looking at me going, just sing me the fucking song. toddlers get like weird sort of repetition things going on where they just love to hear the same thing, apparently. So this is, and then screaming from his cot, one more happy birthday. I was like, I'm not singing that to you anymore.
Maybe because singing happy birthday makes him feel like really excited, because normally, like, if he goes to a party or it's someone else's birthday, it's always like a really exciting day, isn't it?
Do you reckon
maybe
that's what it is?
Because for instance, Axel, when he was little, I used to sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to him to go to sleep,
right?
And he absolutely hated it. Hated it. So then when he went to nursery, like at a year, the teachers were like, he really doesn't like the song Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And I was like, really? And they were like, yeah, every time we sing it, he literally throws a massive tantrum, crying, because he obviously then associates that with going to bed. So I hope that Kit doesn't do the same with Happy Birthday.
Oh my God, basically out of every single future birthday party, people are going to sing it to him. He's going to go, no!
I'm not going to bed, no!
I don't want to go to sleep. No, it's your actual party. Have a good time. Oh dear, my friend thinks I should change it to happy days. Happy day to you, happy day to you. But Dozer loves doing it. It's not going anywhere fast. Anyway, last night,
you'll have to sing his birthday. You'll just have to change his birthday song rather than like a different one. He could do happy birthday to you instead,
He loves Britney Spears' Toxic, sung in the voice of the Cookie Monster. How random is that?
Random.
Oh no, it's not Toxic. It's Hit Me Baby One More Time. That's what.
How did you come to find that out? Is what I want to know.
Someone get me out of here immediately! I'm losing my mind. This is a new look Fridays for us. We've decided that. Obviously, during lockdown, we were doing 2 podcasts a week, getting 2 different guests on. And we were like, people are getting back to their normal lives, people are going back to work. So we thought we'd do 1 main podcast on a Tuesday. And then on the Friday, it's just going to be me and you, Kino, isn't it? And we're going to be talking about a different subject every week. Sometimes we'll throw it out to you guys if there's a particular subject that you want us to discuss. Today, we thought we'd do a continuation from Tuesday's pod and do more of a sleep chat and answer some of the questions that we didn't get through.
Yeah, I mean, this episode can be anything really, can't it? Yeah. So if we're struggling 1 week, then absolutely we'll put it out and you can let us know what you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
But it'll just be a general chat. We'll share like some product recommendations. We might chat about what we've been doing in the week, what's yeah. been going on.
Should we chat about yeah. the arguments that we're having at the moment? Are you having any at your end?
We are. We sort of keep going in like, I reckon, I put it into like a month block. I reckon we have 1 week of arguments in a month block. That makes sense? So like 1 week of the month is solid arguing. Right. And then the other 3 weeks are like, all right.
Does that revolve around your period at all? Or
well,
that...
James seems to think so, and he is probably right, I would say. Because for about, I reckon for about 8 days, I am absolutely horrible.
Furious.
Furious. Anything he does, I'm quite tolerant normally, yeah. but I don't know what it is. As soon as, I don't know, just a few days before my period, and then when I'm on my period, I'm not the same.
That's so normal. That's so, like, absolutely. And in normal life, in inverted commas, whatever that is any longer, we'd be able to go out and, you know, go meet some friends or go and do something fun or just kind of have a bit of a change of scenery. I know we can start, we're starting to get back to, you know, the things that we used to do, but it has been really challenging. Like, in what world would you spend that amount of time with your partner just at home all the time with children around you?
Exactly. And that's what we have to keep reminding ourselves, I think, is that it's not a normal situation to be in. Mm. And gosh, like, when do you ever spend that much time with somebody?
No.
Like, seriously, like, even lovely. Your favourite person in the world is going to yeah. really get on your nerves if you spend, every single waking yeah. second with them.
I think there's a level of acceptance that has to come with that. And I think sometimes I'm probably, well, I am, I'm such an emotional being. And, you know, one day I'll be the happiest thing in the planet and everything's going great and we have the best day, and then the next day I wake up and I just feel really, really pissed off for no reason at all, and then we have this sort of awful, ridiculous argument about nothing, and then it's really hard to get out of that funk when you're just not able to put any other sort of different shades on it. You know, oh, should we go for the walk again, and the kids are like, oh, I don't want to do the same walk again. You know, it's been a challenging 4 months, hasn't it? Let's be honest.
It really has. I'm really looking forward to, do you know what, just being actually away from James and the kids, like just being able to go somewhere and escape.
Like, I think you can turn, because this is what I'm doing on Sunday, I think you can turn around to James and say, do you know what, I'm actually just going to go and visit a mate now, and I'll be back tomorrow.
And I'll be back in 2 weeks time.
You will find me drinking the sangrias in any fucking paddling pool that I can find in the area. No, I think that's fine to do that. And I think actually, you know, as mothers, listen, we've talked about this before, we are programmed to almost do everything, you know.
Yeah.
We're juggling 10 things at once, we're making the breakfast, we're putting the washing on, we're doing the cleaning, we're wiping the bottoms, we're sorting out the tantrums. We're like super women in that sort of arena, but we don't ultimately, it's absolutely, they wouldn't think twice, our partners wouldn't think twice about turning around to us and going, well, my husband did it yesterday. He was like, oh, I'm just going to go off and have dinner with a mate. And I was like, okay, I mean, absolutely he should. But I was then starting to get quite resentful. I was like, why am I so annoyed? And I was annoyed at myself because I missed out on a picnic that my friends were getting together last week. They all got together and I was like, oh no, I should probably stay with the kids and dolls and da-da. I should have gone.
That's the thing. That's what I do. I get resentful about something that I wouldn't not be brave enough to do myself, but I wouldn't think to do myself. And there's no reason why I wouldn't. Like, I was trying to work it out, and the whole of the 4 months, I have been away from the kids for about 4 hours.
Oh my God, Georgia.
In total. Maybe not even that. Maybe not even 4 hours. Apart from in the evenings if I go for a run or whatever. But James has, no, not even that, I don't think. Because James took the kids to his sister's house once. In the afternoon once, and I stayed here, and I think we might have been recording the podcast, and then I had like a couple of hours to myself. But honestly, I think that is it.
Because James is like an amazing father, and he's a super hands-on dad, but he's not necessarily the dad that would be like, right, come on then kids, let's go off, I'm going to take you out for a few hours and see Georgie, you have a bit of time. That's not
a good
thing. You know, some partners do that, but I don't.
Yeah.
Bilder doesn't do that either. He wants to do stuff all together, which is lovely.
That, exactly. That's that. And we're kind of programmed that way, as in we do things together as a family, as a family, as a family, because we're so used to, well, when I was working Monday to Friday or Monday to Thursday, whatever, we were used to only having a Sunday together because James would be playing football on a Saturday, you know, we'd be sort of just ships passing in the week, and then so Sunday was always our family time together, so we're used to that, like doing everything together, but now we're spending every second together. I think we need to realize that we don't need to do that at all, because I do, you know, I took the kids to my friend's house the other day for the whole day.
I always
take the kids off by myself, and I don't think twice about doing that, but we don't do it the other way around.
It's really interesting, isn't it? The psyche behind that. I reckon there's going to be a lot of people that are nodding their heads at the moment. It's very, very interesting. But then I start looking inside myself and I say, is that something to do with me? You know, am I not setting enough boundaries? Let's go back to this boundaries thing. You know, we did that amazing podcast with Caroline Brisson, and I feel like I've actually had a healing session with her since.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. It was so incredible. So it was over Zoom. I'm holding on to a lot of stuff from my childhood, with regards to my mum and dad and their relationship and some traumas that I went through as a teenager, and then the fact that I fell off the rails massively and, you know, just got into all sorts of destructive behaviour. And then when my dad died, the way that my mum acted, you know, she had a new partner very quickly, and I just felt I'm holding on to a lot of stuff and I'm really trying to process it. When my dad died, I had, you know, 2 years of therapy, did a lot of work, but there was definitely some anxiety there around my parenting and the fears and the things that my mum did. I was very like acutely aware that I didn't want to pass those on to Luna. So and one of them is feeling abandoned. And look, I had an amazing childhood, so my mum didn't abandon me, but there were elements of her parenting which I probably didn't feel like I got enough, and I've said this to her. And so what was fascinating was or what is fascinating is that I cannot say no to the kids. I cannot, to the point where, you know, they are taking and sapping everything from me, and eventually I lash out. Go away, leave me alone, shut up, get off me, da, 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 da. And I'm like, that's not kind, that's not the way to do it. What I need to do is say, right, mummy's working out now, so I need 30 minutes, I'll put them in front of a film or do reading eggs or building blocks or whatever it is, and just sit. Whereas I just let them crawl all over me and use me as a tower. And Caroline just basically said to me, this is about you feeling that if you say no to the kids and put them down for a second, they're going to feel that they're not loved. And it was like, bang, I just burst into tears.
God, that is so interesting, isn't it?
I could not stop crying. She did a meditation with me where she took me through this forest.
Yeah.
And look, you either believe in this stuff or you don't, but I really do. And like, we did this inner child work where I found like the 14-year-old me, and I put me and her in a bubble and I hugged her and we went off together and I told her that she was safe. And I mean, I was just bawling my eyes out, absolutely, like uncontrollably bawling my eyes out. And I feel really good since then. I feel like I've really got, like in the morning I'm saying my affirmations where I'm like, you know, I'm enough, and you know, my kids are loved, and all these things that I have to sort of go through, and I just feel better in general. I feel less anxious, and I feel able to be like, no, this is my time now, that's absolutely fine. You guys are okay for half an hour, you just crack on with what you're doing. And you know, you can't give them everything for 14
hours. And also I think it's really good to encourage them to play independently. I remember reading something not that long ago which was saying our children, like our generation of children, are never bored because they've got so much to occupy them. Kids' TV is on every hour of the day. They've got so many games. They've got so many toys. Like, I remember, you know, being at home when I was young and just sort of like laying on the sofa and being bored. And I don't think it's really affected me.
No.
And so I've been really conscious about that, trying to, not give everything and be like, no, do you know what? I've got to do this. I've got to go and load the dishwasher and I've got to do this. And I'm sorry I can't be with you right now, but I can't, you know, if I don't do this now, I'm going to be doing it tonight. And that's my time. So it's not happening. Yeah, I know. It's really difficult. It is so difficult to
so
do that, but you have to.
That.
Yeah, I think I really do genuinely think, like, one of the best things you can do for your children is teach them to be independent. Like, because what, I always think, what are we doing when we're raising children? We're teaching them to be good adults, right? That's the whole thing. And so a part of being a good adult is being independent and being able to do something by yourself. I totally mess this up all the time. Like, we're trying, I'm useless when it comes to Axel dressing himself. He's dressing himself, but I'm itching because it's taking him so long to to just step in and do it for him. But then I think you've got to remind yourself, like, no, they don't need me all the time. Yeah. I can't do everything.
We spend the first however many years doing absolutely everything for them. Sleep, breathing them, watching them when they're asleep, rocking them when they're sad, feeding them, changing them. Like, what a head fuck is that? And then for us to then go, actually, no, like Luna says, she did the same thing to me this morning. She chooses her clothes and gets herself dressed, and I was brushing her hair and she was like, I don't need help. And I was like, you can't do it. And then in my head I was like, God, what is wrong with me? I was like, of course you can do it. And if you don't brush the whole of your hair, doesn't matter, because you've brushed your hair and you're going to take a sense of pride from that. But I definitely think parenting, God, just this learning curve constantly that we're going through, these mountains that we have to climb, and you really have to look at yourself in the mirror and really go on the journey as they learn, you learn. I know.
It's so difficult. It is so difficult. But I guess stripping it back to basics and thinking, right, what is my job here? What actually is my job here?
Yeah.
My job is to do this. That's what I try and do when it all becomes too much for me. I'm like, oh, everything's everywhere and I want to be doing this and I want to be with them. And right, what's my job? Okay, let me just think about what my job is for a second.
What do you say to yourself when you ask yourself that question? What comes up?
I literally just think, what is my purpose to these children? My purpose is to make sure they're loved, to make sure, they have, the things that they want, to become good adults, to become kind, and then I strip it back and I think, oh, okay, so it doesn't really matter if, Axel's doing some painting and I'm loading the dishwasher, because that's fine. He's learning to be by himself. He'll have to be by himself in, when he's older. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm going to let him walk off to the shops at 4 years old, but, I guess that's always in my mind now, is independence. I don't know. What is my job? Like, what is my job? What's my purpose?
God, I don't know. I had such a crying day yesterday where I just feel we've discussed the feeling of trying to do everything but not doing everything particularly well. And I think, there's no handbook to this job. Yeah, what is my job? Absolutely. But am I getting my job right? Like, am I messing up these children? Are they going to... I know you can't think about the future because we only have today. We have to stay in the present. And all we can do is take it in small bite-sized chunks. And I say that to myself daily. And I think actually the pandemic with coronavirus has taught us that we can't plan, we can't book a holiday, we can't make plans. We have to just live it day by day. And that's been really, for me, it's been quite freeing in a way. But at the same time, I think because of my upbringing and because of my anxiety around my mum, I really am acutely aware of getting it wrong with Luna, because I know what I did. And what I did was very destructive, and it had a...
But Luna's not you. I mean, she is you in lots of ways, but she's not. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. I have that thing as well, that like there's always patterns, if someone's done this and then I do that, then that means I'll be like that. I always think like that, but I'm trying to break that too.
It's really important. I really do think about that. And absolutely, we're not the same person, and, we're always going to be mothers.
We are. That's it now.
And how's the sleep situation going? I mean, we obviously really hate having this conversation, because when we do talk about it, things go wrong. But you don't really talk about Gigi sleeping. Is she sleeping through?
We had that blip, didn't we, at 4 months old?
Yeah.
Where I think it was about 10 days or something, she wasn't sleeping very well. I don't know. Some experts will tell you there's no such thing as a 4-month sleep regression. Some experts will tell you there are. I think, to be honest with you, it was just that I changed her to powdered milk and her tummy couldn't digest it. And as soon as I mean, I tried the Neocate and stuff, didn't I? But I just couldn't, I couldn't get her to drink it. So I couldn't do it. She wouldn't drink it. So I went back to just the pre-made bottles of HIIT Organic.
Yeah.
And I started sleeping her on her tummy, which I know is super controversial.
Against the government guidelines.
And against government guidelines completely. But I just was thinking back to when she was sleeping really well, when she was, you know, at the beginning, and I was thinking she always was on her tummy in the day, always on her tummy, because I was always with her, so I felt comfortable. So then I just decided, you know what, I'm sleeping next to her, you know, she's in a side-by-side crib.
Yeah.
I've got a mattress under sensor. So I guess I decided that sleep's really important to both of us, and if this was going to be the way that she's comfortable sleeping, then that was going to have to be it. And do you know what, after 4 months, I reckon she could obviously, she could roll herself over at 4 months as well. Yeah, so yeah, if she that, yeah, I couldn't control it, I just let it be. And then honestly, since then, she's been a really good sleeper.
Is she still sleeping in your room, or is she in her own room?
No. As soon as we moved to the new house in December, she went into her own room. I would have put her in her own room earlier, but obviously I knew we were moving house.
Sure.
But I do think with Gigi, and I get so many questions about, oh, what's her routine? What's this? I think sometimes you do get children who are good sleepers, and I do think in comparison to Axel, I have not had to work as hard as I had to with Axel on the routine at all. I think I'm fortunate right now, you know, and things can change, can't they, all the time, but I'm fortunate right now that I think she is one of those children who is good at sleeping.
Yeah, brilliant.
But do you know what I was thinking the other day? My friend is having a baby, and this is her third. And so you'd think, you know, third child, you might not feel anxious about sleep. She's totally, you know, I need the baby to sleep. I don't know what to do, because her last child was a bad sleeper. And she was asking me, like, well, but what did you do? Like, you know, what have you done with both of your kids? What's been the consistent pattern?
Give me the magic pill.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you do, isn't it? That's what you just want to get the knowledge from everybody to find out what they've done. Yeah. And I think the only thing I did the same with Axel and Gigi, was from day one, when we came back from the hospital, I taught them night and day.
Yeah,
that's it. And I think that's, if anyone ever asks, I think every child is different completely, and different techniques work for different people, and there is no rule, but I think that might be the one thing that makes a difference from the get-go, is teaching them night and day. Would you agree?
I completely agree with you, and I think we definitely tried to do that as well. I think the second thing that I would always say to people is, if you can leave emotions at the door, you are a better sleep trainer. And that is really difficult, because when you hear your baby crying, the only thing you want to do is rush to them. I would say a high percentage of the time, they're only crying because they want your attention for a second. And actually, they're not in any discomfort. They're not too hot. They haven't done a poo. They don't need any milk. And actually, they just want you there to pat their back. And that's fine. And if you want to be in the room with them and pat their back till they fall asleep, that's totally fine as well. But there are other ways of looking at it, you know, like Luna's waking Kit up every night because she's worried that there's a bloody daddy long legs in her room and there isn't even one in there. When Kit wakes up, he's just, "Mummy, I want to cuddle. And I just don't go in, because it takes 45 seconds of him saying that, and then he goes back to sleep. So I think, you know, your own child, some people rush in straight away, pick them up, and then you might have, you know, half an hour of trying to resettle them. So I think, you know, I've definitely got a friend of mine who her kids are in her bed every single night, and she's up and down playing musical beds and round and missing half of her evening with her husband. And, you know, she's not happy now.
Yeah, and that's fine if that works for you. Like, absolutely. But if it doesn't, then it doesn't need to be that way. I think that's always a thing, isn't it?
But whatever.
Neither
Georgia and I have the answers. You know, and we would love someone to just give them to us.
What's Kit's routine at the moment? Because Gigi's just turned one, and I'm like, oh, what was it again? What happens at one? Do they drop their morning nap? What happens? What's Kit's routine now? Because he's just turned two.
So he generally usually sleeps to between. He went through a period when we moved house, but I think he was just a bit unsettled of waking at about 5:30. You know, touch wood, at the moment it's between 6:30 and 7:00. He woke up at 7:10 this morning, so that was amazing.
Lovely.
I know. Yeah. Luna obviously not, but one of them. And he has one nap a day, and I normally get him down after his lunch, and that can be between any time between 12 and 1:30. I'll put him down for a sleep, and he sleeps generally between 1 hour and 2 hours, depends on what sort of a night he's had, and then that's it. You know what, he's really great. I don't think he's going to be napping in the day for too much longer. I reckon we've probably got another 6 months in us, because if he doesn't, on the odd day that he doesn't have a nap, he's totally fine.
Yeah, it's so weird, isn't it? Because Axel, up until 3, he absolutely had to have a nap during the day. Yeah. And even still now, like, if he hasn't, you know, he's had a couple of late nights or something, he's got to catch up on it. He is useless without sleep. Mm. But, because Gigi's still having her morning sleep at the moment.
Yeah, and she needs it. Only just turned one.
Yeah, she definitely needs it. But it's interesting, like I said, I mentioned it on Instagram, we've found somebody to have the kids a couple of mornings a week so that we can get some work done. And she said to me, is she having a morning nap? Because Gigi was asleep when she came round. And I said, oh, yeah, she still has a morning nap. And then she has her afternoon nap. And she was surprised. And I was like, do they not have it at one? But I guess, if she's tired and she's still, still having an afternoon nap and still being asleep at 6:30 in the evening, then she's got to keep it. I mean, she can nap all day if she wants.
Exactly. She wants to sleep all day. If it's working for you, then I think that's absolutely fine. I think you'll start noticing if she starts becoming a bit trickier at bedtime to get down. Because I think the other day you recorded something, you did something on stories, and she was still asleep at about 4:30, 5:00.
And then went back to sleep at 6:30.
I mean, that's mad, isn't it? People are listening to you going, oh, that.
Yeah, but
you must give her children how comfortable bed. No, I'm joking.
So we'll be back right after this.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Now, where were we?
Georgia, do you want to get in and do some of these questions quickly?
Yes, let's do them. When to start introducing a nighttime routine? This is from Annie Jones.
Well, hello to Annie. Really great question. I would say my advice on it is that don't really worry about it for the first kind of 10 to 12 weeks. I think at that point, you're just kind of like finding your feet with things. You know, some people like Georgia, definitely you introduced a routine a little bit earlier, didn't you?
Around
8-9 weeks.
I was going to say with Gigi, it was 2 weeks.
I mean, that seems really young to be introducing a routine.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
What do you mean? Just bath, bottle, bed?
Yeah, I mean, I did that from I probably did that from day one, bath, bottle, bed, because I was doing it with Axel. But I think sometimes it happens naturally. Your bedtime routine happens naturally. But I think you don't need to be like dictated by a routine very early. I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with you. And obviously, if you've got another child, and you know, an elder sibling, then they're going to be doing that bath, boob, or bath, bottle, bed, whatever you're choosing. Maybe between kind of 6 and 12 weeks, you should be thinking about it. And, you know, it depends on whether you're breastfeeding or bottle feeding, I think, because obviously breastfed babies, they're going to still be waking up throughout the night. And some bottle fed babies will sleep straight through. So, I remember when I took Kit off the boob and put him onto the bottle at 10 weeks, and he slept straight through the night. And yeah, you know, they just get more full on the formula, don't they? So it really depends on your situation. But, you know, I think between kind of 6 and 12 weeks, you should start thinking about it.
Yeah, and just when it feels right for you, yeah. I think. That's when you decide you need a bit of structure and you need a bit of time, especially in the evenings. That's always the hardest thing, I think, especially when you first become a parent. You realise, especially when they're downstairs with you and stuff, you think, gosh, I haven't had any time by myself. And I think when you start needing that, that's when you think, right, okay, now it's time to put them down to bed at night and I come downstairs or go in the living room or whatever and have that space.
This is from Harriet. Hello to you. How long should my nearly two-year-old be napping for each day? Well, we've just kind of talked about this, haven't we? But obviously Kit's two and he goes down for between an hour and 2 hours and 15 minutes. And it varies every single day. So I give him his lunch and then I put him down straight away after that. And it just depends on how his night's been and how much sleep he needs to catch up on. But if I can get him to an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes, I'm quite happy. If he does two hours and 10 minutes, that is an absolute win as well. So
yeah, I think you'll just know, won't you, from your child, like if they seem ratty and irritable, then they need more sleep.
Yeah, and also, sorry to interrupt, but some of the babies that are sort of two or toddlers from two start waking up after their naps after about half an hour. And that is just the worst. But but my advice then is just to leave them to cry out. They'll go back in. We were having a coffee with Kit.
I'm not sure who this one is from because the profile name I don't think is the name. But anyway, number one, my son wakes up during the night and can be wide awake. What do I do? Do I let him wake up, run around, then go back down, leave him to cry? Happens a lot. I mean, I would say I would never let my kids come out of the room during the night.
No, and I'm the same as you. But
yeah,
You know what, this is such a personal thing and it's so hard for us to sit here and say this is what you should and shouldn't do, but maybe you could try this, right? So go in and do your kind of sleep trigger phrase, whatever that is. Mine is, it's night night now, night night Kit. It's night night now, night night Kit. And then I just pat him on the back, I lay here, I say, lay down, it's night night now, night Kit, and I walk back out again. I never pick him up out of his cot. I never bring him into the bed with us. And that's just, they're our rules. They're just our family rules. You might have different ones. I think letting them kind of run around in the middle of the night is kind of saying it's okay to do whatever they want at that time. The night time is for sleeping. So if you can kind of be a bit more structured on that, that might help you out. Georgia?
Yeah, no, that's what I agree. I've always been, like I said, from day one, nighttime is nighttime and daytime is daytime. And I think that's how we've always been. So we don't let the children come out of the rooms during the night if they wake up. No. I don't do that. But yeah, I guess it's just personal choice, isn't it, really?
There you go.
It's whatever works for you. This is from Agnes. Improving short daytime naps, baby sleeps through the night.
Well, congratulations on getting your baby to sleep through the night. That is an absolute win. We hear this quite a lot, actually, that babies that sleep through the night aren't particularly good at napping in the day. And consistency with the naps in the day is absolutely key, apparently. So as I said, some babies will wake kind of 20 or 30 minutes into their nap, start screaming. And then, you know, because we want to go and be there for them and check on them, obviously, we go in. And then it starts off the cycle and we might pick them up and then they're, you know, in and out. Generally, if you just go in, check that they're not too hot, they haven't done a poo, they don't need anything like water or anything like that. I don't know how old this baby is particularly.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it, when we don't know the age. Yeah.
But generally, if you go in, rub the back, shh, 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 it's night time now, it's nap time now, and then straight back out of the room, the baby will go back in. But it's really hard and you're probably going to have to go through a bit of like, you know, crying it out and controlled crying at that point. But generally, if you want to go in and check, or you can see on the monitor that they're absolutely fine, I would just leave them and generally they go back to sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's a baby, as in like a tiny baby, it's perseverance, isn't it? It's like if they're under one, perseverance with short daytime naps. Just perseverance. Like you said, keep going in. But I guess if they're older, like over two and a half, it might be about
only having one nap a day or changing your naps. I mean, it's hard when you don't know the age. Yeah. But what, you know, whatever you do, they're sleeping through the night. Woohoo!
Yeah. This is from Josie. Help, how to stop early risers, 20-month-old. Oh, Josie, the early rising chat. Georgia?
Oh, gosh, I don't know the answer to this. Yeah. We used to, I remember like a couple of years ago, Zoe and I thought we'd cracked the early waking, didn't juice. We? It was like cherry juice, socks, don't give them a bottle in the morning. I do remember that with Axel when he dropped his morning bottle. He started waking up later. I do remember that. And that did work for a while. But I think everything works for a while. And you know what? Like, one of the things that Dr. Karp said that I kind of really agree with is that some people just wake up early, don't they? Well, like, think of your mates. There'll be like, I'm an early riser, naturally an early riser. I go on a girl's holiday and I've been at the pool for 4 hours before my friends have even woken up.
That's because you're not having as much fun as you should do.
No, do you know, you say that. You can ask my friends. I will be out the same amount of time. I'm like a child. I can be up till whatever time, but I still wake up at the same time the next day. I just always have.
The number one cause for early risers, the reason for an early riser, is overtiredness, right? So if your child is overtired for whatever reason, they might have dropped their daytime nap completely at 2.5, 3. They might have had a late bedtime because, you know, you're out seeing some friends, having a barbecue, whatever it is. If they go to bed outside of their normal routine, they will tend to wake up early. This theory about putting your children to bed later means they wake up later. It's bollocks.
No, yeah, I don't
put your child to bed. Generally, the better it is for them. So I think if you can be really structured with that daytime, that nighttime routine, people talk about blackout blinds. That absolutely, I think, works a treat in the summer.
Yeah.
The problem with blackout blinds with us is that Luna likes to sleep with a lamp on. No, there's no need for it. And then I think, you know, obviously making sure that people say having a lot of protein for dinner really helps, because sometimes early wake ups are due to hunger, or having their dinner slightly later and then maybe a snack before bed that's, you know, that's kind of protein heavy. That is also quite a good one. But I think, it's and then a tiny bit of it has to be, and I'm learning to do this, has to be acceptance of the early rising.
Yeah.
I'm not over it. And I don't think that's really. But we have good days and bad days.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about sleep and sleep problems and everything to do with sleep all day.
Yeah, do you know what, Georgia? We absolutely could talk about this all day long, but we've run out of time. And we were thinking
we have
a 20-minute podcast, and it's been a 40-minute one. We've just rambled on. That was so nice. I love that.
Oh, me too. I think we could maybe just finish with our products, our favourite sleep products.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think for me, the number one is a white noise machine.
Oh my God, yes. And do you know what?
Yeah.
We've been sleeping the last couple of nights with these Dyson fans. And,
and the
kids, you know, we've had a later wake up call. So maybe it's
I'd stopped using a white noise machine. And then since we've been having the work done on the house and there's constantly banging and crashing and everything, when Gigi's been having her naps, I've been using white noise again. And it's been brilliant. Really good. We use the Marpak white noise machine. It's just like a little one. You get it on Amazon. It's round and it stays on, because that's the most important thing with the white noise machine, is that it keeps going. It doesn't switch off.
I really like the baby pillow spray from Cowshed. Luna loves it on her pillow. I just put it by her bed. She's got a little bedside table. I just spray it on her pillow. I'm not sure if it's working, but she loves the smell of it. And I'm like, it's kind of like another nighttime trigger for her. So
That's what I think with those pillow sprays. Definitely there's some other ones, aren't there? But it's like who knows if it necessarily helps them go to sleep, but it is just another thing in that bedtime routine, isn't it? That they can do that will calm them down.
Love that.
Another one is a grow bag or a sleeping bag or something like that. Just, I know with Gigi, I've tried it, especially now it's really, really hot. Not putting her in a bag, she will not go to sleep. It's fully part of our routine. We have to put her in something. So I use the grow bags, and I've got just a 0.5 really, really thin one, and I put her in that in just a nappy at the moment. But I do think that's enough, that makes them feel secure, and then in the winter they don't get cold because they're in it. So
Definitely, yeah. A sleeping bag.
Yeah, we love those as well.
So yeah, another product which seems to be working with Luna at the moment is the Linda Star Glow in the Dark Stars. And we've just, and there's a moon that comes with it as well. I just got them on Amazon, but we've just put it above her bed on the ceiling. And then we've like dotted the stars all the way around her room. And it just gives her a little bit of extra light without being too invasive. And obviously she's Luna, which is the moon. So every night before bed, she's like, that's me. That's me. So cute.
That is so sweet.
In the room is quite nice.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing with sleep is like you can throw all the products at it, can't you? But essentially it comes down to, for us, like a good routine. They have enough sleep and they're not overtired. Yeah, and a bit of luck. Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, have an amazing weekend. Enjoy it. We'll be back on Tuesday with another big podcast for you, which we cannot wait to share with you. It's such a lovely chat, this one. So have a good one.
Absolutely. Please do rate, review and subscribe. And you can drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman.
Yeah, and we enjoy the sunshine this weekend, drink a lot of rosé, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah, see you Tuesday.
See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.